his instructions as soon as the song started, well, right before the song started, that the words are going to be on the screen and that you are all invited to sing along. But I noticed that at the very beginning that all of you did exactly like what I did, that nobody was singing along. No one was singing at the very beginning. But I don't know if you were anything like me, but as soon as Leanne, as soon as those words first came out of her mouth, I said, well, if I start singing, I'm not going to be able to hear that. But I also thought, I'm going to just mess it up. And so then all of them came together and they all joined together like that. And it's like, no, the congregation this morning with the trio, we were not going to sing along because we wanted to hear y'all, but we also knew we were going to mess it up. But thanks for the invitation. But yeah, that was a direct, yeah, we were just deciding we weren't going to do that. But I am glad that you're here this morning. Glad, and that is quite a powerful song, and so now I am standing here to interrupt that. Welcome to worship. I want to invite you to turn into a New Testament reading. This reading is Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 8 and go through verse 9. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Living Translation. If you remember the Living Bible that came out in the 1970s, it was in the 70s, somewhere around in there. It's the NLT. It's a little bit different. But this is one of those that I will often use for devotional reading in my own devotional being just everyday prayers. That's everyday prayers and Bible reading. It's when I say devotional, that's what I'm talking about. But Philippians, this is Paul writing to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, it's verse chapter 4, and starting at verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Paul is coming to the end of his letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and all that you have received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. In this moment, we thank you, O God, for these words that you are speaking in our midst. And we know, O God, the power that your words contain. We know the power, O God, that your faithfulness over time in our lives, the kind of power that you can shape in each of us. And we pray this morning that as we open our hearts before you, and as we let you, O God, come into our very hearts and into our very lives, we pray and ask, Lord, that you may speak your truth and your life into our own lives. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that the words that I share, that they may be pleasing to you and that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Now, over the summer, we have been in the midst of this conversation about hearing the voice of God. And one of those things that I really wanted to focus on is that how do we get to do this? How do we get to a place that we are able to hear God speaking to us? Because as you look throughout the scriptures, there's no doubt that the voice of God comes through, that God's voice does speak to people. It was in the midst of the whirlwind. It is in the midst of chaos. This very beautiful story that emerges in the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament. But it's out of the whirlwind and the chaos that God comes to speak to Job. Job, a person who has lost so much in his life. He has lost members of his family. He has lost just financial resources. He has lost his very, and just so many things that he has had. It is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul who is thrown down on the ground and blinded and begins to hear the voice. And he says this, begins to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to him. And then it is through the story of Mordecai, that ancient story of Queen Esther, who hears, through Mordecai's voice, God speaking into her life, and asking that question that maybe perhaps, Esther, that you have been made. And I want you to imagine this, that you have been made for such a time as this. And I'm sure that many of you could fill in more stories that come through the scriptures of where God speaks. And probably, likely, stories of people that you've known in your own life where God has spoken clearly to them. Moments when people have been at kind of crossroads in their own lives and God has sort of shifted them to go in one direction, shifted them to go in another direction. You will hear us oftentimes in the church. We will talk about particularly callings that people have in their own lives. Those moments when God just breaks through and completely changes the trajectory of their lives. And so over the summer, we've really tried to focus on this, is that how do we hear God in a real and a personal way? There's this ancient proverb that comes in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. This is from the King James translation that says, "As a man thinketh in his heart." Now, you see that masculine, inclusive language that the ancient world used to employ. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not sure if many of you have used that word thinketh much this week, but it is an important word to sort of pick up and hold on to, at least for this morning. And maybe I can convince you to use it a little bit more throughout next week. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, it's a really interesting connection that this writer is making in Proverbs. Now, Proverbs traditionally being a place that we can turn to in the scriptures and find wisdom, a place that traditionally have been used over centuries for people who are seeking to hear the voice of God to look for wisdom, practical wisdom that you can employ in your everyday life. But what is interesting is in this verse, of Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, is that there is this interesting connection that our hearts are involved in our thinking. Now, it's even more interesting because these words are written prior to MRIs and other scans of our brains and studies of the kind of thought patterns that all of us express in our lives. Yet the research, current research, contemporary research, in psychology and neurology show just this, that there is a connection of what we think, or if you want to begin to use that new word, of what we thinketh, and the effect that that thinking has on our hearts, and also the way we begin to look at the world. And as much as we may know this, as much as we even may understand this, it doesn't make it any easier for us to change our thoughts or even to do, well, what the Apostle Paul is inviting us to kind of embrace in Philippians chapter 4, to fix our thoughts. To fix our thoughts, well, in today's reading, invites us to explore. Well, what are the things that are true? What's honorable? What's right and pure? What is lovely? What should we be admiring in our world? As we are invited to do in accordance with the scriptures. Now, one of the interesting things about this particular verse that Paul is inviting the Philippians to embrace in their lives is that this idea of fixing our thoughts, of paying attention and thinking about those things that are honorable, that are right, are pure and lovely, those things that we admire, the truth, the honor, the beauty that is in the world. This is not new knowledge that Paul is all of a sudden introducing to the Philippians. Ancient philosophers such as Plato had an emphasis on the ideas of what is good, what is beautiful, and what is true. And the idea that emerged out of ancient philosophy is that if you just focus on that, if you just think on that, if you make that your primary goal in life to focus on the good, to focus on the beautiful, to focus on the true, that then you would come to embrace and to live a life that was fulfilling, the good life, as it was often characterized in ancient philosophy. This is well known to Paul. Extraordinarily well known to the Philippians. They recognized, just like Paul, who is educated in some of those very philosophies, they recognize that our minds, that if we focus on those very things, if we fix our thoughts, what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what should be admired, then we would be on a path to living a very good life. In fact, it could begin to change our minds. Now, all of us have minds that can be easily persuaded from time to time. We all have moments when some new information can be presented to us. Even an emotional appeal can be made to us, and then we can be persuaded. We can change our minds. A little bit harder sometimes is that we can be influenced by something. Perhaps a person, again, maybe some new information, we can be influenced and we can shift our thinking. And even we can start acting a little bit different because we've had a shift in our thinking. But a more difficult challenge, but it's possible, is to in fact be able to change our minds. Taking on new information, being moved emotionally by that information is enough sometimes to change our minds, but our behavior and even our attitudes. And our lives may not change all that much, but there can be a change in our thinking. And for a lot of us, we can get into a place of saying, changing our minds, changing our thinking, that's just about the best that we can do. Because after that, then it's going to take, it's going to take some willpower to really change our lives. It's going to take maybe a shift in our day in and day out habits to really move us and transform us. And so we think, we can change our minds, but then we got to summon up enough willpower to really have a life that is changed. In fact, the Apostle Paul, not in Philippians, but in Romans, will dive into this very same thing. The Apostle Paul, who, writes this letter to the Philippians, also wrote a letter to the Romans. And in what is a wonderful bit of introspection, a wonderful look at his own life, in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, the Apostle Paul will talk about this. For I do not do the good that I want, but it is the evil that I do not want to do. That is what I find myself doing over and over and over again. Maybe you've had days, maybe even weeks or months where you seem like you're the Apostle Paul, where it's like, I want to do good, but the evil that I do not want to do, that is what I do. The good of all those things that are here in today's reading, again, those things that are true, those things that are honorable, those things that are right and pure and lovely, Paul says, that's not what I'm doing. But I find myself, I want to do it, but I don't do it. And in fact, he will say just a few verses later, Romans 7:25, he will say, then with my mind I am enslaved to the law of God, but with my flesh I am enslaved to the law of sin. Now you probably recognize that in Romans chapter 7 there was a big argument that Paul is trying to make. In fact, what Paul will do, starting at about Romans 5, going all the way through Romans chapter 9, is he will begin to start a conversation about our lives and the life that he is living. And it is this difference in a life that is lived in the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, or a life that is lived in sin, that very thing that separates us from God. And so what Paul will do is that in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, say that, with my mind, I'm enslaved to the law of God, but with my flesh, I'm enslaved to the law of sin. Now, Paul is really interesting here, because what Paul has experienced is God speaking into his life about the power that his own thinking has on his life. And the effect that that can have on his very heart and also on his life. In other words, when Paul makes room for God's voice to fix his thinking, his life changes in ways that even philosophers like Plato and Aristotle could not quite pin down. They knew the experience that was happening among other human beings. They saw what was happening in, well, their own lives as well as in the lives of those that they sought to educate. But yet what Paul began to experience is he says that when I open myself up to allowing God to begin to fix my thoughts, well, then my heart and then my life changes. And the extraordinary power that Paul experiences in God is the same kind of power that all of us have the capacity, well, to embrace in our own lives. It is a power to allow God to fix our very thoughts. And as much as it may seem, well, like Paul says in Romans chapter 7, as much as it may seem that our thoughts are getting away from us, there is a space that we can open ourselves up to God's voice, a space that we can allow God to move in our own minds and our own thoughts. Imagine this. Imagine asking God, what is true in this moment? Now, I will tell you also, now the real challenge, challenge for me, and I think a challenge that emerges throughout the Apostle Paul, but a real challenge for me, is that it's even more difficult to do this in moments when we're stressed, moments when we're sort of pushed off, when we're shifted in our own lives. But imagine asking God, what is true in this moment? Not just coming to conclusions and thinking, I already know what is true, but asking God, what is true in this moment? Imagine taking it a step further and asking, where can I find honor in this moment? Or then being able to ask, what is right in this moment? Or instead of assuming that we already know, begin to look in that moment and say, what is pure here and now? What is lovely that's right in front of me? And what can I admire? Now, I hope that you have been able to see transparently through what I've just offered, because the only thing that I've done is taken Philippians chapter 4, two verses, verse 8 through 9, and rather than read them, just ask those questions about our own lives. Because what we are doing is putting ourselves in a place to allow God to begin to shape our thoughts and to begin to shape our minds and to begin to, well, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to fix our thoughts. How powerful would it be to have God's voice directing our thoughts in each of these questions of asking, what is true in this very moment? Where is a place that I can find honor in this moment? Or what is right in this moment? Well, for Paul, it was nothing short than fixing our thoughts. And even Paul would admonish the Philippians late in this letter. It's the very place where he's beginning his conclusion. Everybody that knows anything about writing a letter, anybody that knows anything about giving a good presentation, knows that you don't start offering new information toward the end. And yet Paul just runs right past that and begins to admonish the Philippians. Think about these things. Think about these things. Because these are the very things that are excellent. These are the very things that are worthy of praise. And from our thoughts, from our fixed thoughts, that's where you begin to live. It's one of the particular reasons why I wanted to use the New Living Translation this morning, because that is the place that you begin to practice those things that you have learned. Paul knew, and this is why I would imagine that he's doing this also at the end. Paul knew that it wasn't just more information that the Philippians needed to live. They needed minds that were fixed on truth and honor. They needed minds that were fixed on the rights that they all held together in Christ. Because that's how you learn to hear God's voice speaking in your life. This is where God begins to operate in all of our lives. from Paul's own struggle of the good and evil that he is faced with in Romans chapter 7. It will actually lead him to Romans chapter 12 to write these words. And I want to offer very familiar words that come from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, this comes from the Message translation, but listen to these words. So here's what I want you to do. This is Eugene Peterson's translation in the Message, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And readily recognize that what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. And so you've likely noticed that from the Apostle Paul to Queen Esther to Job, even to Moses, who gets caught by God's presence and fixes his attention on a bush that is on fire but yet doesn't seem to go out, nor does it seem to burn up the bush. That God's speaking is quite common. And throughout this summer, us fixing our attention, fixing our thoughts, learning how to hear God, you will notice that my focus has been on those things that can distract us at times, those many distractions that tend from our those things that we face day in and day out. That's where a lot of my attention, a lot of my focus has been. Because truly I think that once we eliminate those distractions, that's when we're able to fix our thoughts. Paul invites us to fix our thoughts on those things that are true. Not just those things that we assume to be true, that we know in our hearts is true, but those things that God is pointing to that are saying, this is true. To fix our thoughts on those things that are honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. And as men and women, as children, as teenagers, that's where that thinketh in our heart begins to show who we really are. Those things that are focused on who we are in this moment. And that's something that, it's been really important to me in this series of thinking about how we can hear God's voice to recognize it's not something we can leave up to chance. In fact, our very hearts and our very lives, they rely oftentimes on us being able to fix our thoughts and to fix them on those things that God is showing us are good and honorable, those things that are right and pure, those things that are lovely, and those things that should capture our attention, that we should admire. So let us thinketh on these things. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the minds that you have given us. And we thank you, O God, for the ability that you have to transform and to fix our lives and our minds. And Lord, in this moment, we thank you for your presence that is around us. We know, O God, that we have sung and that we have lifted up honor and glory before you. And you have promised us, O Lord, that as your name is lifted up, that you would draw all of us into your presence. And truly, Lord, we pray and ask that being drawn into your presence, that now you would not leave us as we have come here today. We pray and ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you may fix our thoughts. That you will let us discover, O Lord, in our lives and in our world, those things that are pure. Those things that are honorable. Those things, Lord, that you are drawing our attention to. And having fixed our thoughts, Lord, may our hearts be made pure and holy in your presence. pray and we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and the one who saves us. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand?